1, 2, 3, hit it, boy. Ah.
So get together, have a few laughs.
Uh-oh. Shit, lady, do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
Lady, put the freaking gun down on the ground right now. Take your son across the freaking street and say that until he's gonna get you.
Hello, and welcome to Where There's a Willis, There's a Way, a film podcast about the multitude of works by Bruce Willis. My name is Josh Carter.
And I am Kendrick Martin. Today, here on the podcast, we will be discussing 16 Blocks, directed by Richard Donner and written by Richard Wenk. Do you think they did this film together because of their shared first name?
No, but they did do it together because they Donner loved the script so much. I read that in the IMDb trivia. Oh. He was like, oh my God, I love this movie. And then the other Richard was like, I just wanted an opinion on it. But yeah, if you want to direct it, go for it.
Okay.
But yep. No, they did it because of the same name, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They went to Richard Kahn and they met each other.
Yeah. Dicks Incorporated.
Yeah.
If this is your first time listening to this podcast, what we do here is an in-depth breakdown of a movie starring Bruce Willis, both from a film perspective, and we talk about his individual contribution. We add the movie to our ranking, we talk trivia, and then we do the Wheel of Willis.
You can find our previous episodes over at williswaypod.com. You can find other podcasts in the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network over at lastoftheactionheroes.com. Thank you for supporting this podcast. If you want to send a little bit of assistance our way, you can head over to anchor.fm/Willis-Way. Your support goes a long way to help us produce this podcast. If you want to support us for free, please rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to your podcasts. Also tell your friends and your friends' friends, since everybody loves Bruce. One thing real quick. Is that anchor.fm still like our website? Because I know the Anchor did a bunch of changey over where they're like, now Anchor is owned by a different corporation.
So it auto redirects. You're right. Anchor was bought by Spotify a long time ago.
Okay.
But they do redirect now. The actual URL is podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/Willis-Way. Which is too many letters.
That is so many letters. Anyways, I'm going to forget that I ever said anything, and we can just edit that part out and post. And
Yeah. Just anchor your anchor at anchor.fm. Sail the seven seas. One of the seas is in anchor, the word anchor.
Yar. So. Yard be.
Yar. Before we talk about 16 Blocks, we need to spend 16 minutes discussing whether or not we think you should watch this movie. And the way we do that is we have a very important rating system. And this rating system exists to let you know if you should watch this movie and then listen to our in-depth spoiler-filled discussion, or if we think this one is safe to skip and listen to us recap it and explain it and dissect it, and you can live through our Willis experiences.
I think
so, Joshua.
I think that's the best way to say it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We rank these movies, a Bruce Willis out of a Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
The more Bruce, the more Willis, the more Bruce that it gets, the better we liked it. So what would you rank 16 Blocks?
I'm going to give it a brew. I think I'm going to give it a brew. BRU out of Bruce Willis. What about you?
Wow, I'm right there with you. BRU.
Yep. We really should have had on a big fan of this movie just to give a counter opinion, because you and I are going to be like, nah. I like the first 15 blocks, but the 16 blocks, I don't know about it.
I'm not even sure the big fans of this movie exist, but we'll dive into it. So, if this is your first time, again, listening, this rating system exists for you, the listener.
Yeah.
Not for us.
No.
We don't rate movies for our own pleasure. It's not Bruce for our pleasure. No. We rate them for you, the listener. And anything over a Bruce space we think is worth watching. So since Josh and I both rated this below a Bruce, we think it's one of those safe to skips.
We do. I don't know. I think that this movie could have been something fun and something cool and better than it was, but it just ended up being a being something that is, I don't know, not terrible, but you'll see where we rank it at the end. It's a doozy of a time. I was glad that I didn't have to pay real money for this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I have some feelings. So yep. We'll get into that. But before we do that, we do have an email to read. Josh, do you want to read this email from Nathan?
Oh, we have two emails from Nathan to read.
We have two emails?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
So we have one for Alpha
Dog.
Oh,
right. I missed the other one.
And then one for Lucky Number 7. And the reason that I know that there was two emails is that Kendrick and I are, if nothing else, communists. And so we split the labor evenly between the two of us, where he edits an episode and I edit an episode. And then both Kendrick and I did not coordinate our release schedules. And we each found out about the episode that the other person edited and published because we got a notification on our phone that Nathan had emailed us. So Nathan knew about the publishing of the episode before either of us knew about it. In the case of each person's opposite publishing, you get the idea. I'm not explaining it well, but...
Funny story, in this Alpha Dog one, I got an email from Nathan before my podcast app had even updated saying that the podcast was released. So, Nathan, we love you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Number one fan. Oh, and if you like Nathan, stick around, because he will be gracing your ears shortly. But anyways, so Nathan writes, "You think you know me so well," as the subject line, and then the first sentence is, "You do." Given 411 usage of the word fuck and a runtime of 2 hours and 2 minutes for 120 minutes, this movie says the word fuck approximately 3.37 times a minute, or once every 17.8 seconds. Then he goes on to say, "Yellow is a movie about a teacher taking far too much Vicodin, causing a scandal at the school, getting fired and going back to Oklahoma to deal with the fucked up trauma she's grown with. I'm not 100% on the accuracy of the story of Alpha Dogs, but it was purported by the director to be 95% accurate, a number which was repeated on multiple occasions, and most articles are about the minute details, so it stands to reason that it was probably pretty accurate. I haven't seen it, so I won't say for certain, but as a fan of history and accuracy, I'm glad they took the extra effort to make the movie. Thanks for the new episode. Glad you were unfrozen from cryostasis." And then he also gave us a Bruce Willis suggestion for the Wheel of Willis. So thank you, Nathan. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Nathan. And just to recap for listeners, this was discussing the movie Alpha Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't doubt that the filmmaker made it accurate to the representation at the time. But I think my frustration was, the story was told by the survivors, and it just felt very much like a survivors were made to look like the good guys because they survived. And I was like, well, yeah, because who's out there to tell them that they didn't do any? The people that would have said otherwise died. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't. What's the quote about yellow for? Did we talk?
I don't know. I guess we must have talked about yellow for a second. And I listened to that episode, I think, 3 times before I published it, but I don't remember that. So it's in the past. I'm sure we'll get an email about it this time.
Yeah, we probably already got an email.
Yeah.
About it.
Do you want to read Nathan's other email too?
I do. So okay. This one is in reference to Lucky Number 11, and he says, "Apparently, this movie takes place in New York City, New York."
I do know what that's referring to.
Yeah. If you, listener, want to email us, you can email us here at the pod, williswaypod@gmail.com. You can also find us on various social medias at williswaypod. There's also a Facebook page for the Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network. We also have a Discord where we hang out, all the different podcasts of that podcast network. We're actually recording live in there right now, so if you know our schedule ahead of time, which I don't even know our schedule ahead of time, mm-mm. but if you, the listener, know our schedule ahead of time, you can come in and join us. Listen live. The link to join that will be in the show notes. Before we jump into talking about 16 Blocks, we are going to take a quick break.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger.
Now we're going to get into 16 Blocks.
They're going to come and talk to you about this, and they're going to tell you what happened. But what they tell you is not really what happened here. I was trying to do a good thing.
Hey, get this guy from lockup and run him over to Center Street.
Did you get some regular mutt that takes care of this?
It's a nothing thing. 118 minutes to get a witness 16 blocks.
Why are we rushing like this? This is not a good time. You put the Hawaii 5-0 light on and use your police pound. Make a hole. Be all right. Do you believe in that?
I believe life's too long, and guys like you make it even longer.
Hey, listen, man, I got an important appointment. Nah, man, it ain't Miller time, man.
No. I don't know why you stopped, man.
Got here as soon as we could.
You did a great job. You got a bad guy. Why don't you let us take it from here?
The kid was gonna testify. He's on some business. It's gonna hurt a lot of cops.
We just want the kid. All you gotta do is look the other way. This changes everything, Jack.
There's about a ton of cops between me and you, and they all want this kid dead.
Hey!
Why you shoot that cop? Cops, they don't shoot up a cop, especially over nobody like me.
Lines were crossed.
Get away!
That kid is gonna get you killed.
Maybe she's not being with you. People been trying to shoot me. People you know!
I am your only friend out here.
You don't even know me!
Well, I got all day. How about you? You got all day?
You're dressed like a criminal.
People can change, say.
You are not gonna make it. Petty. You're killing me.
That audio was from the trailer of 16 Blocks. I'm going to read the description from IMDb. An aging alcoholic cop is assigned the task of escorting a witness from police custody to a courthouse. Drumroll, please. 16 blocks away! There are, however, chaotic forces at work that prevent them from making it in one piece. And you can find this movie on VOD or YouTube.
So you told me that this movie was available on YouTube, and I don't think I had ever watched a movie on YouTube like this before. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a rip. It's an actual published movie on YouTube. And I guess I have YouTube Premium, the ad free YouTube, mm-hmm. and there were no ads or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you don't have YouTube Premium, if you have an ad, if there's ads in the movie or not, but I was like, wow. All right. Thanks, YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty shook. Pretty shocked and surprised and pleasantly so, because, yeah, I didn't want to pay for this thing, and it made me happy. Yeah. What else is there to say about it?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, if you are one of those people that is, I don't recommend this at all, but technically – downloading an ad blocker, such as uBlock, does go against the terms and services of YouTube, so I would not suggest doing that. That would be, you can go to uBlock by looking it up on Google. I would not recommend doing that, once again, to watch this movie for free without ads, without subscribing to Premium. So, not recommending that.
You don't recommend it because you don't like the movie. It has nothing to do with YouTube's terms of service.
Correct. Yeah. YouTube can fuck themselves, but Yeah, so I guess where do you want to start with the movie? Do you have like a particular set of things you want to talk about? Because I got a lot of different things that feel like they're just a bucket of things. I don't have like a specific plot problems. I think the script is okay, but.
Let's talk about overall thoughts, I guess, sure. And then we can dive into some of those details.
Sure.
So I can start. The basic premise is that, you know, man has to get object to point X in order to like save the day.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, there's like a million bad guys that he has to fight off. That is the most basic plot, and basically the plot of all video games and most probably like half of action movies. Mm-hmm. Like, if you boil down a huge percentage of action movies, it's just get to spot, don't die.
Yeah.
And when action movies are just super simplified and they're just like, look, we got to get to this spot and you're going to get attacked the entire time. I love that.
Yeah. Same.
It's like, I don't want the added overhead of like, why do you hate so-and-so or like who's in love with so like, no, no, no.
Or like just triple crossing, double crossing or yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know that they have to get to the end to be safe.
Yeah.
It's not, there's no like fake outs. You're just like, all right, we got to get to the end.
Yeah.
We got to run this gauntlet.
Yeah. I think you and I are just doing a secret backdoor podcast introduction for why we both love Mad Max Fury Road right now. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I guess kind of. Yeah, that movie is like two of those put together.
Yeah,
but I didn't really even think of that. I was thinking of like the John Wick movies.
Oh yeah, true.
Are all just nonstop him having to get somewhere. Yep. And fighting off just like waves of dudes.
Yep. Yep.
So usually I am like in the can, love this plot.
Yeah.
There's very little required of the actors as to act.
Yeah.
They just have to be able to do the action.
Yep.
And this movie was so disappointingly boring.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked. I was like expecting at least to be like, okay, not impressed, but I had a good time. But no, I was so like bored to sleep. The action was boring.
Yeah.
It was too slow. They kept stopping.
Yep.
The action, and they make a big deal about, we got to get to the courthouse in 90 minutes or 118 minutes or whatever.
And it somehow feels 16... like 7 hours.
I know. I'm just like, whoa, what are we doing? And there's no, there's this whole subplot about Bruce Willis is like an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And hates, and like, I think the subtext is that he's suicidal, though that's never really mentioned.
Yeah.
But we don't know enough to really care about why this is happening.
And his alcoholism is like not shown through the camera. Like, we're not shown like his POV disorienting shots or like showing him getting affected by like loud noises or whatever that would make the alcoholism or his drunkenness like really play into it. It's just like man with shuffles things from a hat, alcoholism. Like, that's what it felt like for him. I don't know.
Yeah. And I was just kind of constantly being like, I don't care. Whenever there's no action on the scene, everyone should be asking, how do we get back to the action?
Yep.
And that was the biggest disappointment for me.
Yeah.
It's just how like dull it was.
Mm-hmm.
David Morse. Is he ever not a bad guy?
I don't know. He's great in this movie, though. And he's always like evil, bad guy, NCIS, baddie sort of character.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He looks like the bad guy in a cop drama.
Yep.
Like, that's, he just, no matter what, he looks like that.
Yeah. He's like Worse Bloods. I don't know. He's.
Yeah, so that's really the main like thrust of my feelings. Mm-hmm. Is just like disappointingly bored.
Yeah. I think that a big part of that, and you'll definitely weigh in on this too, but I'm sure we're going to get to like the copness of it all, because this whole movie is like, at some points it feels like it's an anti or like a cop criticism movie. And then at other points it's so pro cop that it's like disgusting. Both Kendrick and I are, I can say probably pretty confidently, we both have some, quibbles with the police and the way that we do policing as a country, as a state, as a world. But this movie, the crux of the issue is like, yeah, there's a lot of bad cops, unfortunately, but good cops always prevail and bad cops always get justice is like a through line for the movie. And even like our main character, Bruce Willis, who has a real name in the movie. I don't remember what it is, but Bruce Willis is
Jack.
Like Jack. That's his real name.
Jack. Yeah. Jack Mosley is his name.
I'm just going to call him Bruce Willis. Jack Bruce is like, he's also not a great cop, but he's a good, not great cop because he wants to hold himself accountable. It's just, it's corny. It's ridiculous. And, I think that because all of the bad guys in the movies were cops, they also didn't want to have a movie where Bruce Willis kills like 75 cops on screen. So they killed like nobody in this whole movie. And I think that that's probably why it felt so dull a lot of the times, because you're expecting like a balls to the wall, lots of people, John Wick, bodies getting flung at him constantly and just people getting popped. And you did not have that in this movie. And it is boring for it.
Yeah, that's a good point that I didn't think about, was you don't, they probably in the year of our Lord 2006, yeah. Which by the way, this is 3 of 5 Bruce Willis movies to come out in 2006.
Yeah.
They probably didn't want a bunch of cops, corrupt cops, quote unquote, getting destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I did think it was a little progressive to have a corrupt cop storyline in 2006. It didn't go nearly as far as you would hope, even for 2006 days. But the fact that they basically unearthed like a pretty widespread corruption in a police force, I thought was interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
I got a little confused at the end because it seemed like everyone was on the take, but then because at some points I'm like, why doesn't, like when the brass start showing up and they're like, okay, he's got hostages, we got to talk him down, why doesn't he just say, I'll go into protective custody to like you, like why doesn't he call out to some superior? I mean, I guess he thinks he's gonna get shot or something, but I feel like the logic kind of breaks down. It's either everyone is corrupt in the police force, which maybe that was true, or he had plenty of opportunities to give himself up to somebody who could have helped him.
I think that if they had made this movie take place in like Russia or whatever, and he's like trying to get away from all these Russian bad guys who want to kill whatever U.S. diplomat or whatever, I think you could have done that, and then it would have been a lot more believable, because then you could believe that the entire Russian hierarchy of police or whatever is after this guy, or pick whatever foreign country. Within New York, you are thinking like, really? Everyone wants Bruce Willis killed, and Bruce Willis isn't like trying to figure out some other alternative way around it? Because he does feel like that character is not the brightest character, and I don't know. I don't prefer watching a movie with the character where he's super, super dumb and you as an audience is like, why don't you just do this thing? So I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it felt like a reverse Die Hard at sometimes, where he's like some of the elements where he's like on the run and everyone else is trying to sneak around to try to encapsulate him.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of like they're trying to recapture some of that Die Hard magic, but it never really worked.
Yeah.
Really. And I think the other bummer is, common in these types of movies are really great set pieces, and the only real set piece is the bus scene, which again is just kind of like,
it's pretty boring.
He takes a bus hostage, and then him and Mos Def changes clothes and gets off the bus with everybody else and then just comes right back. Like, wow, okay. Cool, I guess.
Yep. Yeah. I think I had like the Wikipedia page open while I was reading this and I saw that there was a big reshoot scene. And then I kept having scenes that would make no sense. And I'm like, oh, this must be the reshoot scene. And then, nope. It's just the movie doesn't make a whole lot of sense after a certain point. I thought that it was going somewhere, especially right at the beginning. Like the moment that Bruce Willis fires the shotgun at that one cop, I was like, hell yeah, let's fucking go. I like got up, went to pee, grabbed myself some water, sat down in my little comfy chair, and then proceeded to get bored out of my mind for the next hour.
You're like, do I have to pee again?
Yeah, what is going on?
Something going to happen here? For me, the scene that really made me perk up was when that guy, so there's the only people that die are the hired assailants.
Yep.
That come to the car.
Yep.
And there's that scene where he's like shooting through the window and gets shot right beforehand.
Yep.
And you see like the 360 cam of Bruce Willis standing there shooting the guy. I'm like, oh yeah, we're gonna find out he's like a super soldier.
Oh yeah. Nope. Yeah, it was ridiculous. I wrote about it a smidge in the review that I posted of it too on Letterboxd, but I could feel, and I'm so dreading it now because I'm gonna be looking for it, but I could feel the like Paul Greengrass / Bourne like sort of homage or stylizing in this, but it's not in the hands of somebody who does that style very well with all the shaky cam and like crazy weird close-ups and stuff like that. And this movie would kind of switch back and forth between like really wide shots that are dull and uninteresting and just really slow down the pace of the movie. And then really close-up disorienting shots that are like, well, I could have gone for a happy medium here. I didn't need this. So I don't know. The filming of it even was just not great. I think that maybe there is a filmmaker out there, it's possible, that could have made everything else, like pacing and script and actors, interesting. But no, wasn't the case.
It's funny when you said that Richard Donner was like so stoked on the script, because I thought the script was like very reductive and repetitive.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, the script is just like written by an AI.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not really much here.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bummer that Richard Donner, who made many movies I've liked,
mm-hmm.
made this. This was his last movie that he made.
Yep.
He died in 2021, but this was the last movie he made for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But
I haven't watched any of the Lethal Weapon movies, but I do want to watch those at some point.
I've watched the first one.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
Okay.
It's more fun than this.
Yeah. Which Richard Donner movies do you like then, other than like Superman, I'm guessing? Superman and the Goonies?
Superman 2, and the Goonies.
Nice.
I love the Goonies.
Yeah.
I love the Goonies.
Yeah. So. Some good shit. But none of those movies are like really heavy action movies. So kind of makes me curious to know like how the Lethal Weapon movies handle the action, if they're much better or if they're about the same.
I remember, it's been a long time since I've seen Lethal Weapon, but I remember the action being better, and it's because I think, if I remember correctly, Mel Gibson is like a lethal weapon, right? Like he's like, his martial arts skills are so good that he's a lethal weapon. And I remember there being some like good fight scenes. The first one ends in like this crazy fight scene in the rain with a Christmas tree. Anyway.
Yeah.
16 blocks.
16 blocks. Yeah. What did you think of Mos Def in this movie?
I thought he was fine.
Yeah.
I thought he had some funny jokes. I liked how they gave him... I liked how he was a little more of an in-depth character than just a, you know, criminal that had to be transported. Like, I'm going to go start a bakery in Seattle. And
yeah.
I liked the ending, actually. I liked how he disappeared and like Bruce Willis was like, all right, I'm going to step up. and actually like do what needs to happen. I thought that was a nice way to end it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. What did you think about him?
I thought he was doing probably the best that he could with the script that he was given. But the script that he was given, especially like all the dialogue in this movie, is kind of not amazing. There's a, it's like, oh, we have a black character who's a criminal. Let's just make him talk really fast and be unintelligent and unintelligible. And all the cop dialogue is like, cop speak, second floor unit, moving in, Roger, Dodger. I was just like, what the fuck am I watching with this movie? It's not nearly as bad as some of the other movies that we've covered, but good God, what a step down after the last two movies. And I thought that those movies were okay. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good. Do you have any trivia or any other movie thoughts or anything before we move on to trivia?
Nope. Let's move on.
Sounds good. I was going to say one thing that I did read, and I'm sure that you read this too, is that apparently this movie did okay in the theater. We'll get to the box office numbers later. But apparently the DVD sales went gangbusters for this movie. And that makes perfect sense to me, because if I was a dad walking through a Blockbuster in 2007, I'd be like, Bruce Willis, Richard Donner, it's an action movie? He's got a mustache? I'm going to rent this movie for $3. And I can definitely see how this ended up doing really well on the rental market. It is the geezer pleaser or the geezer teaser. It is exactly that type of movie.
Especially like before the internet was really prevalent for sharing like social media.
Yeah.
People didn't be like, oh, what does everyone think about this movie? They'd just be like, oh, the poll quote says it's great. And yep. Bruce Willis has a dope mustache.
Yep.
So yeah, I agree. Hey, marketing.
Yeah,
you know.
Good job, marketing.
I looked up some interviews on YouTube, and there's one interview. I wish I had saved it, but it's this interviewer asking. He's like, "So your character is an alcoholic, and he's dealing with struggling with alcoholism, and I noticed in every scene, you maintain the same level of awareness. Like your character stays roughly this, like you're really good at keeping that character the same every time. Like how did you really get into the character of being an alcoholic?" And Bruce Willis was like, "Well, I have had a drink or two before in my life, but really it's just acting." And I'm just like, it was the cringiest interview where essentially the guy was like, "How did you act?" And Bruce Willis was like, "I acted." I'm just like, what am I watching? It was so uncomfortable.
That's so good. I love that. Yeah, we should pull more of those like interviews and stuff like that for the audio clips for these, because that'd be so fun. But
yeah. Sometimes they're great, but this one I was just like, ooh, I can't finish this.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. You also sent me a video today, because apparently you were on the YouTube prowl looking for other clips. Mm-hmm. And you sent me a video that was like a 2-hour long, like, guy gives rambling thoughts on 16 Blocks. And
yeah, so did you, how much of it did you watch?
I watched like 4 or 5 minutes of it, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I thought it was like some random dude's commentary.
Yeah.
Like, I thought the whole movie was being played.
Yeah.
And I think it actually was. It's really? Just not shown in the video. I think what? He's watching 16 Blocks and then talking about it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, well, there's a job for someone.
Yeah.
We should also say, I think it was in Hindi, because he cuts back and forth between English and another language.
Yeah.
So I think it was in Hindi. So it might have been maybe in India they don't have access to this movie. Or listening to homemade commentary tracks is a big deal there. I don't know.
Well, it also had 280 views. So I don't know if it's a big, big deal, but
yeah, well,
big fair. Deal. I don't know.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's get into the box office numbers. So this movie was released in 2006, as we've already covered. It had a budget of $52 million, and the box office was $65.7 million. So not great. Not great at all. But it did make $14 million in rentals. So it did all right in that market. But yeah, just if you think about the marketing campaign and everything, it probably netted just about even. And yeah, no one was clamoring for 17 blocks to come out or anything like that, or 16 blocks and a half or whatever. So yep, did all right. Didn't lose them a ton of money, but not a great return on investment.
What studio put this on?
I think Warner Bros. Was the studio that produced it, but I can look that up real quick.
Beep a boop 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 boop.
Yeah, distributed by Warner Bros. A lot of companies were involved in the production of it, but like Millennium Films is probably the biggest one. So it wasn't there's no really giant companies behind it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So is there any like Bruce Willis specific stuff you want to talk about? I thought for the movie he was given, he did okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mustache included.
Yeah. Yeah. It just makes me wish that he got more stuff to do, because this performance is sort of what before we did the podcast, what I would have expected every Bruce Willis performance to be. Just like, he's fine. He's a guy who has to deal with a shitty situation, and he's a never take no for an answer sort of macho man, and that's his character. And I'm glad that we've gotten to see so many other performances. And yeah, like you said, he does all right with what he's given, but it's not an Oscar contender or anything that I'm going to write home about. It is fine.
No.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. Totally agree. All right. Where would you put this movie in your Bruce Willis ranking?
So I put this movie at number 25 out of 44. And I put it right after Mortal Thoughts and right before Heart's War.
I think I'm going to put it at 27, right after Mortal Thoughts and right before Sunset.
Nice.
So pretty close.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Yeah. It's
pretty close.
Not one of his better movies. At some point, we should also do a ranked list of all of the movies with numbers in the title and just see where we put those. So that'd be kind of funny.
Yeah, and we post our lists in Letterboxd in case you're interested in checking them out. Wild that we are up to what did you say, 44? 45?
Yeah, 44. 44 of the mainline movies, because I'm not including the cameo movies that we've watched so far.
Yeah. That's a lot of Bruce.
Yeah.
And now we will jump over to the Star Trek connection. Each week, and by each week I mean each episode that comes out during the week, we take our vast knowledge of how to Google cast lists, and we see how to link this movie with our favorite expanded cinematic universe, the Star Trek universe. So the one I pulled for this movie was the actor Conrad Pla, PLA, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, Pla. He plays the character of Ortiz in 16 Blocks, which I assume is just one of the corrupt cops or gangsters. I don't recognize the guy. I don't. Off the top, the name of everybody in the movie, but Bruce Willis and the DA and Bruce Willis's sister and Mos Def are bad guys. So it's safe to assume that he was one of the bad guys. He was also in an episode of Star Trek Discovery. He played the character of Stone, who was a 23rd century human convict.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely haven't watched that episode, I don't think. So I'll hear something about Discovery, and I'm like, I should watch that.
Yeah. We need to do a Star Trek catch-up, because I don't know. Have you watched any of the newer stuff that's come out this year?
I've watched Picard, but that's the last thing that I watched, Picard Season 3. I think that was almost a year ago.
You got to watch Strange New Worlds.
Yeah, I've been hearing that.
And Lower Decks.
I hear. Yeah, those are good. We almost kicked on Lower Decks the other day, but we're working through the Schitt's Creek and Avatar: The Last Airbender. So we got our 22-minute shows filled out right now. But there will be a vacancy.
Is it your first time through Schitt's Creek?
First time through Schitt's Creek, not my first time through Avatar. But yeah, I'm really liking Schitt's Creek so far.
We watched it years and years ago.
Yeah,
my wife and I, and. On Halloween, Hulu does here's a bunch of random Halloween themed episodes from different shows, and you could just like pick one. So we rewatched a Halloween episode from Schitt's Creek, and I forgot how much I loved that show.
Yeah, it's great.
I miss all these people.
Yeah,
and that music and that hotel.
Yeah, it definitely has like a. Sort of like what I remember Parks and Rec feeling like when I watched it. Although looking back on Parks and Rec, it's not quite as good as I thought it was when I was watching it at the time. But it gives me that same sort of warm, bubbly feelings that I got back then. But same sort of feelings that I get from watching Arrested Development and what was the other show I was going to mention? Whatever the other show was. Thinking another great show. It gives you that same great vibe. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Good shit.
Yeah, I really like that show. But it's not gonna, it's not a Schitt's Creek show. Although we should start a Schitt's Creek cast. Schitt's cast.
Yeah. Shooting the shit.
Yeah, there you go. They write themselves. They write themselves. Okay. Well, that leaves only one time for one thing.
That's right. It's time for the sweet treats. So this is the part of the episode where...
Ding, 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 ding. Oh.
Yeah.
Josh.
Hello.
That was your alarm clock.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Josh's alarm clock.
Oh, sorry. Can I snooze you for a second? I'm recording a podcast.
I'm here to alarm. You should be alarmed, Josh.
I am alarmed.
We almost forgot.
Oh, no. What did we almost forget?
We almost went into this dark night without whisking the wheel.
We better hurry up and whisk it then.
Yeah.
Whisk that wheel! We'll fix it in post.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this question is there any role in this movie that Bruce Willis could play with the caveat that he has to play a woman and wear a wig? Is there a woman in this movie? The DA, I guess.
The DA and his sister.
Oh, right. I don't know.
Oh, no, we see her earlier. We see her earlier when he's like, I got to swing by your house.
Yeah.
I have 118 minutes, but I have time to come by your house.
Yep.
So the answer is yes. Who wrote this in?
I don't know. No, no, no. We could always say this is a two whisk that wheel episode. We could whisk it again.
No, we have to take what the wheel gives us.
Okay. The wheel knows.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know who submitted this. It was somebody, though. So I don't remember writing it. So thank you for the suggestion. Yeah. Next time, maybe give us a suggestion that happens with a movie that has more women in it.
Yeah, how dare you?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I guess Bruce Willis could play his sister in a wig. I think that would be funny. It'd be very confusing. Because would he also be playing Bruce Willis in this movie, too?
Like a cameo? Like playing Bruce? Like, hi, I'm Bruce Willis.
No. Bruce Willis cop name, whatever. Would he also be playing Jack?
John Jingle?
Yeah. You know the one.
Yeah. I could see him being a sister cop in a wig.
You'd really have to reduce the role so that it wouldn't be absolutely insane. Because if you watch this movie, like, while toasted, and then it's the same exact movie, and then all of a sudden Bruce Willis in a wig is Bruce Willis's sister, that would be too much. That'd be too much. You would get complaints. Yeah. But, yeah. Or is the DA? That'd be good. But I don't want to take away the one role that a black woman plays in this entire movie. So.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Where There's a Willis, There's a Way. You can find previous episodes of this podcast over at williswaypod.com. Email us your comments, your Bruce Willis in a wig pictures, and suggestions for the Willis Wheel at williswaypod@gmail.com. Check out all of our past episodes over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Speaking of past episodes, Josh, I was thinking we should do a Die Hard revisit for the holidays one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe someday.
Yeah. I'm actually going to watch it tomorrow night, so maybe we could find a time to next episode. We'll do like a little quick chit chat on it because it's like the third movie that we covered. And yeah, it's interesting to compare it to all the other movies that we've watched since then. So, yeah.
Plus, we didn't have our rapport. We didn't know all about each other. We were still talking about what were our inside jokes back then?
I don't know.
Washing machines in a Home Depot.
Yeah. Or... I don't know. Did we even do the? Oh, no, we did do the Star Trek connection because it was first two episodes that we did it. But. Yeah.
Yeah, because they were like front and center people. Uh-huh. And then
we're like, this is a good idea that will work for forever. And now we're like, some guy, I don't remember what his name was. He was in half an episode of Discovery.
Yeah.
Hey, at least we moved on from whatever the fuck his name was that played the oboe or whatever.
Right. Yeah, the oboist or Beethoven. That one. Yeah.
Oh, classic.
Oh, man. Well, you can find me on social media. I'm mainly on Blueski at KMartinix, KMartinix, or you can go over to kmartinix.com, subscribe to my newsletter, see my blog posts, send me pictures of your animals, you know, all that.
Rad. You can find me on the app formerly known as the good light blue one and Blueski at Josh and Carter. And then you can find me on Instagram at Prav Josh. And every single episode, like I said earlier, we do like to end with some sort of tasty treat, a little recommendation to close out the show. So Kendrick, what is your recommendation for this episode?
So I have a podcast to recommend.
Ooh.
I have just started watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the first time. And, there's a podcast called Buffering the Vampire Slayer. It is fairly well known, although I don't know. It's two gals, two married women, who I think were musicians. I didn't know them from other stuff. I just looked up Buffy podcasts and found this one.
Mm-hmm.
But it is quite good and they're very funny. They do a song recap of every episode of Buffy at the end of the podcast, which is pretty funny. Buffy, what a weird show to watch almost 30 years later.
Yeah. Does it hold up pretty well?
So, yeah. Some of it does. Yeah. Some of it does not.
Yeah. That shocks me not, considering who was involved in it.
Did you watch Buffy, or have you watched
Buffy? No, I haven't. And I feel like that ship has sailed for like Joss Whedon stuff for me, where I'm like, I didn't grow up on it, so I don't know that I'm going to devote the time to giving him his royalty checks or whatever. Small as those may be. But I don't know. Maybe once he dies, I'll check it out. But same thing with some other guys. Yeah.
I felt the same way, but I'm in like a sci-fi fantasy TV club, and we picked season one. And maybe we should save this for like a bonus episode, but the Joss Whedon of it all is so ingrained in everything we see in pop culture right now.
Yeah.
Like his kind of like snarky dialogue elements kind of took over Marvel, and then everybody else copied that. So it's kind of like exhausting to see that again.
Oh, I bet.
But there's still some fun things and some things you're just like, ooh, no.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. What's the podcast called again?
Buffering the Vampire Slayer.
Buffering the Vampire Slayer.
And they did a full Buffy rewatch. They started years ago. I don't know, 2014 or 2015 or something like that. And then they've moved on to other shows of that era, like X-Files, I think.
Oh, okay, nice.
So, it's great stuff.
Nice.
What about you?
I'm going to recommend a game that everyone else is already recommending and playing like crazy, but I'm going to recommend Baldur's Gate 3. It is amazing. I have been sinking far too many hours into that game, and I am absolutely loving it. I will be shook if it doesn't get Game of the Year. I think it'll be an upset if it doesn't get Game of the Year, because it is just absolutely loaded with content, and it's all really engaging and fun. It's fully voice acted and fully mo-capped. It's an incredible experience. The writing on it is great, and it has made me actually interested in possibly playing a D&D game at some point if I ever could get my schedule to cooperate. So
yes, I'll DM it.
Okay, all right, sounds good. We could do a Bruce Willis focused run where everyone has to pick a different origin character based on a Bruce Willis character.
Wow, so. Yes, I bet you, there's some great Bruce Willis like Die Hard one shots out there.
Oh, probably.
Did I ever tell you that I spent forever, 8 months probably, putting together a group of people and a campaign, and finally got started. And we started January of 2020.
No way.
And we met for 4 times.
Oh, fuck.
Two of those were in person, and then 2 of those we moved to online, and then never heard from half those people ever again.
Damn.
Almost 4 years later, just whoop.
Damn.
Thanos snapped out of existence.
That's the way it works, though.
So, yeah, if you're looking to start the next global pandemic, I will DM your D&D game.
Okay, sounds good. I had a global pandemic in my soup earlier, so we'll see what that ends up doing.
Okay. All right.
I love how we're joking about that, too. Good God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yikes. Well, nope. That's...
Now that we've been sufficiently canceled, let's close on out.
Yeah, we're going to be up there. No one's going to be giving us royalty checks.
Hey, that's right. That's right. All right. Tune in next time to hear us cover Over the Hedge. Until then.
All right. I'm excited for that
one. Yeah. Okay. Right. Right. It's going to be a blast. All right. See you later.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, yeah.